Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show, where we talk about all things estate planning, elder law, Medicaid, trusts, and we also answer your questions. It is a call-in show. You could give us a call at 518-476-5900. How are you doing, Phil?
Doing well, Jean Marie. How about you?
Good. I am enjoying the June weather.
Yeah, it's been very pleasant the past week or so. Hopefully that stays the same.
That's right. Gives you more opportunity to golf, right?
Not really.
No.
Conceptually, yes.
Yes.
You know, the idea of it.
Not with three children, huh?
Not with three children and, the new puppy and life. You know how it is.
I thought of you last night. We were out to dinner and this mom at the table next to us had three children.
Okay.
And there was always one crying.
Oh, she was not with you. So she had a table next to you.
The table next
young
to
kids.
Us. Young kids. Yes. And one would stop and the other one would start. And that is just, you're outnumbered there. It was
so we're very lucky. Our kids are super well behaved, more so in public than at home.
Okay.
But so we usually get compliments at restaurants and whatnot from like neighbors how well behaved your kids are. But funny story, have you ever been to Lakeside Farms? It's maybe not. So this is like a breakfast place by where we live. It was, I think last week we were out to breakfast and an elderly couple next to us as we were leaving. Oh, your children are so well behaved and we're chatting a little bit. And my youngest, Jolene, who could be a little bit of a beast sometimes, decides to throw her like plastic cup of milk that has that plastic cover on the ground.
Yes.
And it explodes all over this older lady and it's milk dripping down her legs.
Oh no. Oh, that's awful.
And I was like, well, you spoke too soon, ma'am. They're good until they're not. Anyway.
Oh, that's hilarious. I guess she's not going to come to you to do a will, so.
Maybe not. I might have scared her away, unfortunately. Thanks to Jolene.
That's right.
So we had a pretty big week. We were out there in the public a little bit. Dave and I had our first live TV appearances, which was exciting and different.
Yes.
Different than radio, because I was telling Ben before, I can't hide. I'm out there.
That's right.
My facial expressions, whatever I'm doing, it all matters. On live TV, so a little bit different of an experience. But
that's right, but you both got through it with flying colors, right?
I didn't fall off the chair.
That's right.
I didn't throw up on live TV, so.
All positives, Phil.
All positives.
All positives.
All good
positives,
things.
That's right.
But that was good. And then we have some events coming up as well, so we're trying to get out there, spread education to the general public on what we do and how we help people this Tuesday, right?
Yep, this Tuesday there's an Alzheimer's Caregivers Conference at the Desmond Hotel. And those events are really great if you have a loved one with Alzheimer's or some type of dementia, because it gives you a whole wealth of information, not just legal and financial, but also other caregiver support and other community resources that can help you.
Yeah, and it looks like that starts at 2 o'clock. I believe Dave from our office is going to be speaking. Around 2:15 to 3:30 on, some things we're going to be talking about today, actually. Medicaid and how to get benefits and that long-term care that you may need paid for and some changes to, I wouldn't say changes to the system, but some little small tweaks to the system and how difficult it's become to get benefits. So we'll be talking about that live. If you care to join, you can still sign up and attend.
That's right. Free to go.
The Alzheimer's Association is fantastic with the resources. They put on a decent amount of those programs, whether it's the public forums like this one. Did you do the last caregiver conference?
I did either the last one or the one before.
Yeah.
Don't recall which.
But they have them somewhat frequently in various areas. This one happens to be in Desmond, which is in Albany. I think Kim did one a few weeks ago in Schenectady in the Armory. So they try to do a lot of that. They do the EASE program, which is for early adult support and education. So for individuals that are diagnosed somewhat early on where they still have some cognitive, wits behind them, they come to the support group with It's them and usually one or more members of their care support team.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And each week they focus on a different thing that they should be considering. We usually present on the legal and financial week and considerations they should have.
Right, but it's 6 weeks, so they do cover all various topics.
Yeah, which is fantastic. Again, great resources. Mm-hmm. But so similar to what Dave's going to be talking about tomorrow, I think we should touch on again today, and it's something that we touch on somewhat frequently, but bears repeating because of how important it is and how often it changes, just getting long-term care paid for.
That's right.
Different variations of that. And obviously, you're always welcome to privately pay for long-term care if you would like, and you are fortunate enough to have so much money that you can continue to do that and not care about spending it all down. But that
if you have about $18,000 a month extra
of income coming in, yeah.
Yeah.
Then you're good.
You could do that. Nope. I don't think I know anyone who does.
Very rarely. Yeah. Very
rarely. Ben has secretly.
I don't.
Again, Ben. Yeah,
you have a stash somewhere.
I wish I had a stash somewhere.
I know.
But yeah, that would be nice to have an extra $18,000 a month. I remember when we first started doing the show.
Right.
It was probably less than $10,000 for a month. And now it's just out of control.
It is. I know, isn't it?
And who would want to put that money towards that when they could be using it for other things?
Mm-hmm. Using it for other things, keeping it in the family because you worked hard for it. You know, there's many other things you can think of rather than...
I know. Dave likes analogies. So lately when I've been giving seminars, I'm like, that's $600 a day. How many of you have stayed in a hotel that's $600 a day?
Yeah. No.
Wouldn't you rather stay in a $600 a day hotel?
Absolutely.
It's true. Yeah, price shopping for hotels, I'm like, that's too much. Nope. Move on.
Yeah, no, that's right. But that's what you're paying at a nursing home. And it's certainly not a $600 a day hotel.
No.
Is it? I don't know what you get at those, but I assume you get a lot. So.
Well, I mean, listen, they're very high level of cares, and I get it to a degree. It's almost hospital, basically hospital level care around the clock, but people just can't pay for it, or assets are going to go really quickly. And even home care, we had a client, I think it was last year, very rarely is someone paying for true round the clock care, right? That means like even during a live-in, for example, is not true round-the-clock care because that live-in has to be given the opportunity to have 8 hours off a day to sleep and do whatever they need to do.
Right.
But when I say round-the-clock care, I'm talking to someone 24/7 because this person needs such a high level, they need constant supervision just in case. And the average rate, if you're going through an agency now, I would say is like 35 to 45 an hour.
Yes.
Do that math. You're at $28,000 to $30,000 a month.
Right, right. You're right. That's for someone who... is awake at night or wakes up and needs help all night. But yeah, there are some cases where you do have to do that.
Which is rare, but it's, you know, it shows the case of how expensive that can become as well. So instead of private paying for that care, if you don't have 18,000 plus of disposable income per month, we often are helping families get certain benefits in place, such as Medicaid that we talk about, to at least subsidize the cost of that care, sometimes cover all of it, depending on the scenario, but at least subsidize it. And there's two versions of that we talk about, Jay-Marie. What are those two versions of this long-term care Medicaid?
So there's the community Medicaid, which is really what everyone prefers, you know, which is the care at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like you said, that covers hours for care at home, but it's part of the bigger picture, right? I mean, putting together a plan is bringing together all the resources. So some of it may be Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it could be paid caregivers privately.
Yep.
Some of it's going to be family, you know, hopefully. You have family living around who can step in and do some of that. You know, for example, in your family, there's lots of children to help out, right?
hypothetically.
Hypothetically. Children, you know, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Grandchildren, nieces, nephews. You know, it varies, but Medicaid definitely has to be a piece of that to help pay for the cost.
Yeah, community Medicaid certainly is a puzzle. There's more pieces involved than simply, you know, I'm in a nursing home. I just need to figure out how it's getting paid for. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Right.
But community Medicaid, I think, is more difficult because of those pieces that you're putting together, like you just mentioned. It's not almost never is one piece of that puzzle going to solve the whole issues.
That's right. And
everyone's puzzle has different pieces. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's true. And it's, you know, it's rare that, like you said, you have to do the 24/7, but even trying to fill the hours that you're awake, right? I mean, 12 hours a day of care is, you know, more normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to be, again, a combination of caregivers coming in, family back at night to help out. I see a lot of families with adult children who are working who can't do the daytime hours, but they can come in the morning, they can come in the evening, right? They can do weekends.
Yeah.
So you could do community Medicaid for 40 hours a week and make it work.
So the community Medicaid is the government benefit that will cover some of the cost of that care. It covers the hours in the house that we've been talking about. There's other things that it can cover. There's adult day care programs out in the community. Yes. That's a place you can bring someone who needs care and maybe suffering mm-hmm. from cognitive issues that mm-hmm. they're looked after. They have some social aspects. They have activities mm-hmm. they can do.
Right.
Staff watching them. So there's that. And there's actually, it does cover transportation.
Yes.
To and from.
Yeah,
as well, which is nice. Mm-hmm. Then there's the PACE program.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about the PACE program a little bit? What that is and how that can
yeah.
help? It's for the right person, but
yeah. So the PACE program is one of the types of programs. It's not really Medicaid, but it's income asset based.
Yeah,
and it does provide not just home care. It stands for Program of All Inclusive Care for the Elderly.
Mm-hmm.
So it is all those different supports that you need. You know, people. Giving you transportation, giving you meals, getting, you know, equipment and modifications to the house. So it's really kind of giving you that whole support of what you need.
Yeah, it's nice because it's all under one umbrella, like all in one place, all your care is in one place. Mm-hmm. They assign you a case manager through the program
yes,
that you can,
nice.
Which mm-hmm. is really nice. You have a point person that if something comes up, you reach mm-hmm. out to the point person and they send you which direction you should be looking in, which mm-hmm. way to go in. Sometimes that works really well for people. So when the community Medicaid umbrella is mm-hmm. a pretty broad umbrella of what it can cover and what that can look like.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the in-home care side,
mm-hmm.
you can go the traditional route where it's through an agency.
Right.
Where mm-hmm. we find an agency that has available aids and Medicaid does a few assessments and they determine how many hours they're going to cover through those agencies. Sometimes it's hard to find available aids though, at least currently. I think there's a discrepancy between people who need care mm-hmm. and available aids.
There's definitely a shortage of healthcare workers, and you'll see that in the nursing homes as well. There's a shortage
across the board.
So, but that's why there's another program that's available, consumer directed personal assistance, and that's if you have someone that you found in the neighborhood to caregive, a friend, a family member, it could even be a family member. They can get paid under the Medicaid program to take care of you.
Yeah, so really anyone other than a spouse, they won't pay for your spouse
mm-hmm.
till death do us part, right? You made that promise already. But mm-hmm. anyone else, Medicaid mm-hmm. will pay for. There's a friend, family, other caregiver that you've privately paid for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the process to get that individual or those individuals approved is really not too difficult. There's some forms. There's a doctor assessment they have to go through and some other formalities, but it's not difficult. And then you become it's like you being the employer, the sick individual being the employer and choosing their aides. You know, they're under the umbrella of their care. And that works really well because then we don't have to go out and look for somebody. And oftentimes we already have someone that we know, like, and trust in the house that we can simply have stay there. And if Medicaid only approves that person for some hours,
mm-hmm.
well, we can still privately pay for other hours, but at least the government's subsidizing a large portion of that care.
Yes, that's right. Those are really all great programs. And then we'll get a little bit more into the nuances of how you qualify for them right after the break.
Thanks for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. This is a weekly presentation to help you learn more about protecting your assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. Herzog Law has offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 11 and 130 North Front Street in Kingston. Their attorneys are available to help you to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jay Marie, or Phil. Please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact the Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581. To reach the Kingston office, call 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
There we go. And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
You could have gone right over the music. Would have sounded very nice.
I wasn't
Is that new music?
Yeah, it is. It's brand new this week.
It's very lovely.
Yeah,
very lovely.
Different. That's right.
Jane Marie didn't know when it was going to end.
I'm like, when is it going?
Very long last note.
I was trying to get you just to come right in on the end.
I will try that next time.
Work in progress.
So we were talking about community Medicaid before and how, you know, it really offers a whole range of options for staying at home. So how do you qualify for community Medicaid? That's a question a lot of our people have. Many of them come to us and say, I make too much money. I earn too much to qualify for community Medicaid.
I have too much. I earn too much.
That's right.
Again, unless you're one of those individuals who's making that $18,000 a month, that's likely not true. And you know we're hearing too. We'll get into that in a moment. Mm-hmm. Actually, so there's limits, right? If you go on your computer and you Google New York Community Medicaid asset limits or income limits, these numbers are going to pop up.
Yes,
and it can be confusing to a lot of people. So the asset threshold, which is countable assets in certain types of accounts that are not exempt, your bank accounts, your regular investment accounts, if you have life insurance that has a cash surrender value, right? All these accounts, we combine it, and it has to be below about $33,000.
That's right.
Is the 2026 figure, at least, that goes up slightly, very slightly, usually.
Not a whole lot.
Year to year.
Right.
So we have to get your assets below that threshold to qualify. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then there's an income limit that is about $1,900 a month that you have to be, you would think, if you Google it, that you have to be below. That's not actually how it works. So we'll pick apart those two things. Assets first. So yeah, your assets, your countable assets have to be below the $33,000 threshold. But there's still no look back for this benefit, for community Medicaid benefits. So we've talked about many, many times that October of 2020, they were supposed to implement a 2.5-year, 30-month look back for that. So that means you can't just move money immediately before. But guess what? It's still not implemented. So as of now, you have $1 million of countable assets. We can move them in various ways to trusts and families or whatever the situation is appropriate in the situation and get you qualified the following month.
That's right.
Even from some professionals I've been hearing, the 2.5-year look back is going into place again.
No, it's not.
I mean, it may, but there's nothing formal. There's nothing even verbal that's been stated of any kind of specific date. So it's kind of just floating out there in the ether right now, hanging over our heads still.
That's not even close to being implemented. So I wouldn't quite worry about that.
Yeah. It would be a ways off if it does. There's many things that have to go through still. So we don't have to, not that we don't have to worry about that. It's still a reason to plan ahead, but we still have this option available to us.
So let's take a typical couple that I meet. I mean, you may find that you qualify easily without even having to do much.
Sure.
Some of that is because of exempt assets. And so your house is exempt for community Medicaid.
Yep.
Because you're living in the house. And your retirement accounts are exempt. So a lot of people see $33,000 and, oh, that doesn't work. I have $200,000 in my 401k.
Yeah.
And 401ks and IRAs don't count towards that limit.
That's a huge exemption. Not every state has that. New York's quite lenient in that sense, which is fantastic.
Right. So if you're kind of, I would say your average, you know, family has, you know, their biggest assets are their house and their retirement plans.
Yep.
So those two are exempt. And now let's look at your assets. So $33,000 for the person applying for Medicaid. But if you're married, your spouse can have about $74,000.
Yeah. Sometimes as easy as just moving stuff around in terms of who's the owners on the accounts between spouses.
And you can move assets between the spouses without any problems when applying for Medicaid. So if your bank accounts are under $100,000 combined, you're eligible.
Yeah.
Right? You may not know it, but you're eligible for community Medicaid.
And the movement between spouses is always exempt, even if it's a nursing home Medicaid where there is a look back.
Right.
Transfers between spouses are exempt. So if there's a well spouse in the scenario, that's usually one of the easiest first places to look.
Yes, that's right. But transfer assets over there.
Yeah. Quick and easy. That's not always an option, right? Maybe one spouse is deceased already. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're just not married at all. We can also move money to a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust.
Yes, without a look back, right?
We can also move money to, maybe we have a number of children that we trust and we have them create this holding account in their name of some degree. So, it depends on the specific scenario and the family dynamics and a bunch of different factors, but ultimately, it's on our side at least, it's fairly easy to, to figure out what to do with the money.
That's right. Pretty easy to get you qualified on the asset side.
Now, the income side is a little bit different, right? So we said $1,900 about per month. You take a look on Google. My income's $3,000 a month. I don't qualify. I give up. I'm not going to apply. I can't.
Yeah, a lot of people think that.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, it's an easy assumption to make when you read it because that's the way it's written.
That's right.
An income limit. So if I make $3,000 a month, I still can qualify, but I have what we call an excess surplus income of about $1,100 a month in that scenario.
That's right, and you can qualify by putting that excess income into, now this is a long name, a pooled supplemental needs trust.
Yes. And really all it is I kind of refer to it as like a account with a third-party payer, almost. Mm-hmm. So there's a few different agencies that are allowed to serve this role with Medicaid, and you open up this pooled supplemental income trust account with this company,
right.
And that $1,100 a month in this example that you're over, you pay it into that account each month, show Medicaid proof of this, and guess what? Now you're under the income limit in their eyes.
Yes, and you're eligible for all those Medicaid services.
And that money that you paid into that account each month, after the company that's managing it takes a small administration fee, is available to apply toward all those bills that don't go away because you're still living in your house. So there's still utility bills, property taxes, school taxes, homeowners insurance. None of that stuff goes away. And that's generally why Medicaid allows this, because they understand you still have those expenses.
Yeah, so, excuse me, it's just moving money.
Oh, go ahead. Just moving money. Catch your breath there, Jamie.
oh, boy, allergies. There you go.
They're a killer.
They are. I know, my car is still covered in pollen.
So in addition, that money can also be used to supplement the care. So we move all these things around. We create this pooled income trust. We get you qualified for Medicaid. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Then we go through the process of having you assessed by an independent evaluator from Medicaid to see how many hours you'll be approved for.
Well, true. But even before that, there's this assessment to see if you even qualify.
The baseline threshold.
The baseline threshold. Yeah. And, you know, if you're applying for community Medicaid, presumably you have the need, you know, for the services. But New York State makes you go through a little bit of a hurdle with an assessment, looking at what you're, you know, what you need help with at home.
Yeah.
You know, your activities of daily living, they call them. You know, can you do these on your own? Do you need assistance? Do you need someone to supervise you?
And if you have some kind of a diagnosis of a cognitive issue, which could really be your doctor, sometimes we can get it to go through if they write on this medical form, you know, general cognitive decline due to aging.
Right.
Can even suffice sometimes. But that can count as one activity of daily life. And then it's the other stuff. Can you feed yourself, bathe by yourself, dress yourself, toilet yourself? All those things that you need that are in, you know, a part of your life that you need to do. Mm-hmm. That's what they're looking at.
That's right. And, you know, it is a whole process. So when you're starting community Medicaid, I say, you know, you're on a journey with us for the next couple months, right?
At least.
At least. It's not like we apply, say, here you go, and goodbye, right?
No, it's not even half of the way there, right? We can get you, again, getting you qualified is numbers. We can move stuff around. We know what to do on that side. We're very good at that. And that can be done usually quite quickly. Submit the Medicaid application, get it approved. All right. That's the first part of the process. Now we have to get the care in place.
That's right. And, you know, that's the benefits of having an aging life care manager who works for us. And, you know, Kim talks to families about what is that next step like? What are they going to look for in those evaluations? You know, there's some tips that help you through that.
The language used in those evaluations is important. You know, sometimes you have an individual, if they were being interviewed alone.
Oh, yeah,
and they're
that's
asked,
not a good idea.
No, never a good idea, because guess what? It's embarrassing to admit things that you can't do. So if they're going to be talking to someone, they could say, of course I could do all these things on my own. I am perfectly fine.
That almost all the time is what happens.
Absolutely.
Right, because the individual thinks they're fine or doesn't want to admit it. And this is not the time to be proud, right? This is the time to say, I do need help, or your family member says that they need help.
We need to present the version of you on your absolute worst day, lowest moment. That's what we need to show to Medicaid to get more hours approved. And you're going to want to have advocates there at that assessment for you, whether it's family, whether it's someone from our staff sometimes, to guide you through it and say the right words.
Right.
It's very important.
Yeah, and that's getting you through the first assessment, which is to see if you qualify at all for long-term care. And then the second assessment after that is how many hours of care do you need?
Right.
And that's similar standards of what they're looking at. You know, some more coaching and help from Kim helps you through that just to anticipate what they're going to be looking for.
Yeah, and sometimes we even have to appeal those decisions despite the coaching yes. and whatnot. If they grant too little hours, there is an appeal mm-hmm. process available that we can go through mm-hmm. and try to get those hours increased, or, you know, say we get a certain amount of hours approved now, and in 6 months from now the person's mm-hmm. a lot worse, we request yes. a reassessment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're getting a little more stringent that mm-hmm. we're seeing. So starting earlier in the process is mm-hmm. more advisable than ever, because you might not get the amount of hours initially, or mm-hmm. because these appeals are necessary, the process could be even longer.
Right, right. You should probably anticipate 6 months for just a normal application.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, some of the diseases we see are progressively getting worse. So you may not need a lot of care right now, but you should start the process so 6 months down the road, you're in place to get more care.
Absolutely. And there's mm-hmm. things we can do for people that are in really bad shape, where there's like what we call an immediate need application, mm-hmm. that we can get some temporary care in place through the county mm-hmm. while everything else is going through. So there's things we can do, but it's not an easy system to navigate by any means, and it's just mm-hmm. it's getting more difficult.
It's not, which is why you have to find someone who's familiar with it. And, you know, not every attorney does these. Even attorneys who sometimes do Medicaid only do nursing home and not community Medicaid.
Well, because there is so much work on that back end, right?
That's right. And, you know, we do tons of these. We've been doing them for a long time. We kind of know all the ins and outs. And it's good to have someone guide you through this process.
Absolutely. And then even on the nursing home side, the application process is not easy. It's very, I would say, more technical in mm-hmm. nature, maybe the application itself, because there's the whole 5-year look back and mm-hmm. you know, what are we looking for in the 5-year period, every transaction that you or your spouse have made, and then mm-hmm. Medicaid's looking for what we call uncompensated transfers,
right?
Assets that you gave away without getting something of equal value in return, and they're going to question all those.
That's right. And, you know, again, we're familiar with this. You know, if we uncover transfers, we may have a way to give some of that back or do something else to offset it. There's spousal refusal. There's tons of, you know, options that we have. Transfers to caregiver children.
Disabled individuals, special needs trust for disabled individuals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of things we can do. And, you know, we're seeing a pattern of a lot of facilities doing these applications in-house for free,
right.
which sometimes is great, because sometimes there's someone that has absolutely nothing and it's mm-hmm. a very simple application. But oftentimes we're seeing defective applications mm-hmm. or incorrect information that negatively affects the family. And guess when they realize that it negatively affected them? When all the money is already gone.
When it's too late.
And it's too late to undo what was incorrect, or, you know, what was not told to them properly.
So I'm going to take that too late thing there as we're coming up to the end here. It's never too late to plan. We say that all the time.
Absolutely.
So if you're at the beginning of a nursing home stay, call us, even if you haven't done any planning.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a diagnosis, call us. We could start on the community Medicaid application. You know, even if you haven't done a trust or anything, you know, we can help you.
There's always something we can do. The earlier, the better.
That's right.
Even if it's just for education purposes, mm-hmm. give us a call.
That's right. Enjoy the weekend, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.